Okay, we're starting at Lamed Hamud Bet at the bottom, four lines from the bottom. We finished the whole Klal Prakta Klal in the eighth Riba. And now we're going to start with one thing, by the way, we looked at after class, for those who were here or weren't here. Every morning in Tefillah, before Baruch Shamar, we say Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yugim Omido, Haran Nidreshet Bahem. And in that list was only the Klal U'Prat U'Klal, and the Prat, you know, all the different Klal and Prat, but nothing of the Ribuy V'Mi'ut. And it seems like there's two different schools of thoughts about whether we do it in this way or in that way, and then it was also a little bit unclear, like we said in the Gemara, about what the differences are between them, and whether the actual differences the Gemara says at the end of the day are really true, because they didn't really match what we saw in the beginning. So there seem to be different approaches to how to darshan the Torah, and although, like we pointed out, the Gemara still asked about Rabbi Elazar, who said, Riboy b'mi'ut, where does he learn prat to klal u'prat? So it seems to a little bit contradict the fact that there's two totally separate schools of thoughts. So, you know, we'd have to answer that maybe there were two totally separate schools of thoughts, but some people held, like, both of them in different cases. But it was interesting to note that in Rabbi Shmuel Omer, it's only listed the klal u'prat and no riboy b'mi'ut.
Except that what I read was that you can also cut. It's not necessarily 13, but some listed as 6, because it depends on where there are subcategories.
Right, the 13 is just something that Rabbi Yishmael made up.
Taking his rules, his methods.
Oh, you could
break
categorize
it
into 6.
You want to call it subcategories, like under Klal U'Prat, you know, the triples, the doubles, and the reverse, and so on.
Right.
So somebody even said that it breaks down to 32 subcategories.
Uh-huh, interesting, so. Right. So you could look at an algebra, right? The Yud Gimel is not a magical number, basically, right, of Rabbi Yishmael. By the way, you know why that bright is there? That bright is there from an old version of Birchat HaTorah. Because it's a brayta, and after you say Baruch HaTorah in the morning, we say Baruch Hashem Yishmerecha, we say Elu Dvarim. There were different opinions about it, and his was a remnant of a different version, from what I recall, of the. It goes with the Ezehu Mekoman Shel Zvachim, all the korbanot there are Mishnayot. Those are also connected with things you should learn after saying Baruch HaTorah. There was like a whole different genre, and that's all belonging to that opinion. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yafau, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're getting totally back to what we were talking about. If you remember, we talked about this Mishrat Avanim, Anavim, right? If you have something soaked, do you remember there was Ein Chayav Ad Shiochal Kizayim Min Anavim Kizayim? That was the Mishnah. And then they talked about Rabbi Akiva Omer Afilu Sharat Pito B'Yayin V'yesh B'Kidei L'Tzarech Kizayim Chayav. So Amar Rabbi Yafau, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol isurin shebatorah ein heter mitzaref lisur chutz miyisurei nazir sharei amra torah mishrat. What does this mean? That whenever you have, so there's actually two interpretations. I'll go with the easier one, and then we'll point out Rashi's interpretation. Whenever you have an isur b'torah, right? What's mishrat anavim? Right? I was thinking of tiramisu. Right? When you take those lady fingers and you soak them in coffee. Right? That would be like mishrat anavim, where you take bread and you soak it in wine. Now, what would you say? So comes Rabbi Akiva, and what does he say? If you have enough bread that's a kezayit, even if there's not kezayit of wine, you're chayav on that. That's called heter mitzteref le'isur. The heter of the bread combines with the isur of the wine and creates a situation where you're now being chayav for the bread in terms of getting up to your shear of kezayit that's going to make you chayav. So what do we say here? According to Rabbi Yochanan, this is a unique halacha only by Nazir because of the Pasuk Mishrat. That if you had ladyfingers dipped in coffee, and somehow, let's say, the coffee were Isser, okay, then your ladyfingers of a kezayit would not be mitztaref to count for a kezayit, and you would need to have a kezayit of coffee to make your tiramisu problematic. Okay?
It's only because it's in the Pasukim.
It's only because it says Mishrat Anavim. Okay? Now, so we're going to get up to Pesach soon. Okay? Hold off for a minute.
Why is this free for an explanation? Because it's not used in the
Mishrat? It wasn't used in the Klal. No, it wasn't used. So now, what do they say? So they say that's one interpretation, that we're talking about something soaked, right? Bread soaked in. Rashi seems that it's not even bread soaked in it, but if you were eat two things at the same time, like let's say you ate chelev and shuman at the same time, and you ate a kezayit of it in your mouth. So they would say that that would count to make a kezayit, basically. Okay? So that it doesn't necessarily have to mean that, like the tiramisu example, it would be even if you ate them at the same time in your mouth. Okay? I assume it means in your mouth at the same time. What exactly bevat achad might be would also be a question. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that it's unique. Okay, so Shoshana, hold off, because this is a unique halacha according to Rabbi Yochanan, just for Nazir. Ze'eri Amar, af se'or bebal taktiru. Okay, what's se'or? Look at your daf, your sheet I made. In Vayikra Perek Bet Pasukir Aleph, it says, Kol mecha asher takrivu la'ashem, lo te'aseh chametz, ki kol se'or v'chol dvash lo taktiru mimenu, ishe la'ashem. Okay, what does that mean? Any mincha, right, we would bring a mincha on the with the korban, it was made of flour, but it couldn't be chametz. Okay, and that's what it's saying. So any mincha you would bring can't be chametz, because kol se'or, the chol dvash, you can't bring dvash either. Lo taktiru mimenu ishal Hashem. It can't be brought on the mizbech. So what do they say? So Ze'eri says, it's not just nazir, it's also se'or. Okay, that if you had something that would be mashlim the seor to kezayit. Okay, you had like the dough that came with it. So the dough, even if it had other things that weren't forbidden, like the shemen, it was with oil, that would add to the kezayit and you'd be chayiv. Okay, so he says it's not just by nazir. So now they say, Zeir's opinion, who is this like? Come on. Ki Rabbi Elazar did darish kol? Is it like Rabbi Elazar who darshins kol to say that the word kol includes even a mixture, you know, and then heter mitzareth lisur. If that's the case, ihachi linyan chametz nami. So just like Shoshana said, we learned this by Pesach, that also by chametz, okay, I brought you the pasuk, in Shmo Per Yubet Pasukach, kol machmetzet lo tochelu, b'chol mashvotechem tochlu matzot. Kol machmetzet, which again would include a mixture of chametz with something else, that there's not enough of a kezayit in it, but there's a kezayit altogether, okay, between the chametz and whatever you're eating, there's a kezayit in the mixture. So now they're saying, so if Ze'eri holds the kol of the kol se'or comes to include heter mitzareth lisur, then he should have said it by chametz also, and he doesn't. We assume, right? Rabbi Yochanan says it's only by nazir. Ze'eri says it's by nazir plus this isra of the se'or, the bal taktiru of se'or. So now, and why doesn't he say chametz then? So now they're going to say, he doesn't say chametz, not because he doesn't include chametz. He does hold like Rabbi Elazar, and he would include chametz on his list, but the reason he said it specifically was by the se'or is because he wants to teach you something else. Okay, so what is that? Elala fuki me'abaye. He wants to teach you that he doesn't hold like Abaye. What does Abaye say? Damar yesh haktara b'pachot mikazayit. Now, well, on the one hand, he's including things here, and he's saying that bal taktiru would be an iser, even if you didn't have a whole kezayit of chametz, but whatever you made, your mixture, would have, let's say, shemen of a chatzi kezayit, and chametz of a chatzi kezayit, and that would make up a whole zayit. In order to be chayiv in bal taktiru, you would have to have, altogether, a kezayit of a mixture. Okay? According to Abaye, you don't even need that to be chayiv. You can be chayiv. In this case, there's no shir. Any chametz you put on the mizbeach makes you chayiv. Okay? So what he was trying to say is, af se'or b'bal taktiru, meaning you would need heter mitzareif le'isur in order to get to your, or in a, you have two ways of getting to your kezayit. Either you could have a whole kezayit of chametz, or you could have some mixture. But no matter what, you have to get to a kezayit to be chayiv. And Abaye says you don't even need a kezayit to be chayiv. Any se'or you put on the mizbeach will make you forbidden for that. So therefore, how does that affect us? So therefore, he can hold like Rabbi Elazar. He just happened to mention se'or specifically because he had an issue with se'or. Notice he doesn't say, like Rabbi Yochanan said, that it's always ein heter mitzareif le'isur except for nazir, right? He doesn't say it's only, he says it's also, right? He says af se'or, but he does say af se'or, you might think af se'or and nothing else, but you could say af se'or and other things that have the word kol in them that would include it. Okay? So there are two ways to read him, just the Gemara only reads him. In other words, there's two ways to go. You can either say that, right, there's Rabbi Yochanan and there's Ze'eri, right? So Rabbi Yochanan says it's just by Nazir. Ze'eri says it's by Nazir and Baal Taktiru of the Seor. And then the Gemara assumes that he would also add here Chametz. Okay? That's the Gemara's assumption. He doesn't say it, but the assumption of the Gemara is that if he says Baal Taktiru, it must be he's holding like Rabbi Elazar, that uses the word kol to include, to teach you, Heter Mitzrayot Leisur, and therefore by Chametz, the word kol appears, it would be the same thing. But, you know, that's what the Gemara assumes, because the Gemara has to put him into, right, into an existing framework. Like, where does he get it from? Oh, he must fit into the Rabbi Elazar opinion. It could be that he really just means Seor, but the Gemara can answer it up and say he does mean Chametz, he doesn't mention it because he has a different reason, which is he wants to basically negate Abaye's opinion, who thinks that you don't even need a shear of Kizayit when it comes to Haktarah.
So would Abaye say that a Nazir can't even have a...
So Abaye, we don't know. Abaye has nothing to do with this machloket. That's the thing.
Right.
It's very... I'll tell you, what your point... It's very odd that Ze'eri would be saying, Af Se'or Bebal Taktiru would have this Heter Mitzrayot Leisur, right? And but really underlying what he's saying, he's disagreeing with Abaye about a totally different ish topic.
No, but my question is, why do we even assume that a Nazir can drink a Kazayit? Like, where in the Pesukim does it...
What do you mean, can drink a Kazayit?
Or can have less than a Kazayit?
Ah.
You know, why are we learning...
So, in general, there's just an assumption that to be punished, it's a matter of can you or where's the punishment lie? In other words, in terms of getting a punishment midoraita, you need a minimum shear, generally, for things. That's usually the approach, you know, unless otherwise noted. So this call of, you know, comes to include, according to Abaye, I assume he gets it from the word call. He thinks that specifically when it comes to this issue, there's no shear. That's his unique opinion. But that has nothing to do with the Heter Mitzrayot Leisur. That's the thing. There are two different things, and that's why it's very odd to come and say that Ze'eri is wording his thing when he's disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan, in a way that he's also disagreeing with Abaye about a totally different issue. Right? They, as far as I can see them, they don't overlap, they don't cross over really. Right? Obviously, if you don't need a shear, then you obviously don't need to say Heter Mitzrayot Leisur, but the two have nothing to do with each other really. Like what Abaye would say about Nazir, we have no clue. Because he's not even talking about Heter Mitzrayot Leisur, he's just talking about the need for a shear at all.
Right.
But at a very specific issue of this Baal Taktiru. Okay? Yeah.
Could it be that he didn't bring up the chametz issue because everybody agrees about chametz? There is no, it is even a crumb, like it's mashahu.
So it's osir b'mashahu, but you're not chayav unless you eat a shear. Right. In other words, there's a difference between you'd still only be chayav midoraita if you eat a shear of kezayit. And then you'd need to say, well, is Heter Mitzrayot Leisur to get to this kezayit or not? It's true, if it falls into something, it makes the whole thing forbidden. But that's different from what shear you have to eat. Like, if you drop milk into a cholent, so we don't say, we say shishim, we don't look at, is there a kezayit of milk in it? Even if there's a drop of milk in it, less than a kezayit, it's going to forbid the mixture, but if there's not shishim against it. With chametz, anything that drops into it, but again, you'd have to eat a kezayit of chametz to be forbidden, or... If your drop of chametz falls into a mixture, then maybe that whole mixture is, then you would say, Heter Mitzrayot Leisur. That's exactly the question. Okay. Is it Mitzrayot Leisur or is it not? Yeah, so they're two different things. Yeah. Okay, what we're going to have now until the end of the daf is going to be, okay, we're going to start with this, that Yativ Rav Dimi v'ka'amar la lahashmata. Okay, what does that mean? Rav Dimi got up and taught Rabbi Yochanan's approach. Okay? Which makes a lot of sense. Rav Dimi is one of the people who we've seen. He brings the Torah of Eretz Yisrael to Babel. So Rabbi Yochanan's living in Eretz Yisrael. He brings it to Babel, and he taught this. Okay, he taught Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Now Abaye, okay, we said we didn't know what Abaye thought, but now we're going to see Abaye comes and brings questions on this opinion. Okay, he comes. We're going to see. You can see on the sheet. There's three different brachot he brings to go against what Rav Dimi paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. Hamikveh shel truma, v'hashum v'hashemen shel chulin. Let's say you have, a mikveh seems to be some sort of thick cereal or a stew, it could be like a porridge. It could be a stew. It's unclear, but some sort of thick mixture, not a soup like a liquidy, but something thick. Okay, so you have this thick mixture, which is truma. And mixed in it, okay, right, you put spices in it. You put shum, you put shemen, okay, you put your garlic and you put your oil. But the oil and the garlic are chulin. Vinagat ful yom v'miksatan. Remember what a ful yom is. A ful yom is someone who is tameh for the day, or he could be tameh for a while, but right, for 7 days. He goes to the mikveh the morning of either that day or the seventh day, depending on what kind of ful yom he is. He goes to the mikveh in the morning, but until Seder Kochavim, okay, when the three stars come out, until then, he is still considered tameh. Okay, we've seen that he's a little bit pseudo-tahor, he's like in an in-between stage, but if he touches things, he makes them tameh. So let's say a tful yom touched this, and it's truma, right? There's the mikpeh is truma, the shum and the shemen are chulin. Nagat tful yom b'miktzatan, pasalet kulan. Okay, it goes by the main thing, right? Makes sense. Okay, the main thing is truma, so he pasals the whole thing. If it's the reverse, though, that the mikpeh shel chulin, v'hashum v'hashemen shel truma, v'nagat ful yom b'miktzatan, lo pasal ela makom maga'o. Okay, but if it was the reverse, that most of it was truma, most of it was chulin, the actual stew itself or porridge, and then the spices or the oil was truma, so if he touches a little bit of it, lo pasal ela makom mago. Just the part he touched is a problem. Now, on this brayta, they asked a question. V'havina ba makom mago amai pasul. Wouldn't you say that the truma is batel to the chulin, basically? There's the majority is chulin. So therefore, that's how it should work. So Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, matam ho'il v'zar lokeala b'kizayit. Okay, the reason is that if a czar were to eat this, he'd be chayv if he ate a kezayit of this mixture. My time, eh? Lav mishum deheter mitzterek li'isur. In other words, okay, let's actually make it more clear. There was a braita. There was a question on the braita. Okay, I read the question too early. There was a question on the braita, and the braita was answered in the name, by the way, of who? Rabbi Yochanan himself. And what did Rabbi Yochanan say? That the reason why we're posel makom maga'o is because a zar is lokeh alav b'kezayit. Now, if a zar is lokeh alav b'kezayit, what do you see? First of all, if you get malkot is always mida'oraita, which means that there's a Torah isser here. Now, let's just go back to dinei bitul. What did we learn about truma? How much is truma? Truma's batel? B'meya, right? 100, as opposed to shishim that we generally have. Now, according to the Torah, everything is batel b'rov. Okay? Now, in this mixture, what do you have? You clearly have rov. In other words, the whole shirim of shishim and mea and all that is all midrabanan. Because midrabanan, everything's batel b'rov. We go ahare rabim, everything's the rov. So this mixture is 100%, the rov is chulin. So shouldn't we say that at least on a level midrabanan, that you wouldn't get malkot, that this mixture that's mostly chulin, a little bit of truma, should be considered chulin. Midoraita. That if a czar was to eat this, we'd say, well, the majority, right, it's batel, and therefore a czar shouldn't be lokeh. And comes Rabbi Yochanan, he says, no. You're posel makoma ga'o because it's not batel, right? How do we know it's not batel? Because he says, the czar lokeh alav b'kezayit. Now the question is going to be, why does he say that a czar is lokeh alav b'kezayit? Once you say, let's just build it like this. Once you say the czar is lokeh alav b'kezayit, then you can say, well, that's why he's posel makom maga'o. If the whole thing is considered chulin, midoraita, because it's pasel, because it's batel, then you wouldn't say that he's posel anything if he touches it. Right. A tful yom touches it, shouldn't be pasel, because it's not called truma. It's called chulin midoraita. So Rabbi Yochanan comes and says, no, no, no. A czar would be lokeh if he ate this. So therefore, it's called truma. Why? So now we're going to say, what could the possible reason he be saying this? My time, eh? Lav mishum deheter mitzterek li'isur. Isn't it because he views it as the heter that's mixed up in here is mitzarif to the isser? It's not batel, right? Heter mitzarif to isser almost means, right, it's not canceled out. And therefore, if there's kezayit in there, right, then the heter is mitzarif l'isser. And if the tzar eats a kezayit of this mixture, which is, you know, let's say 90% chulin and 10% truma, the only reason, if you eat the kezayit, right, here's your piece that's a kezayit. Your kezayit is only 10% of, right, truma. So how could he possibly be low kezayit? It must be the yalta, heter mitzarif l'isser. What did Rabbi Yochanan say here? That only by Nazir do we say heter mitzarif l'isser. So how could that be? So Amar Le, Rav Dini answers him, lo. My kezayit, when it says kezayit, what does it mean? De'ika kezayit bechde achila pras. Okay, what does this mean? This means kind of two things here. Achila pras is the time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread. Okay, this is in general. If you were to eat, okay, let's take Yom Kippur, just passed, right? If you've heard of eating b'shiurim on Yom Kippur, what does that mean? That if you really have to eat on Yom Kippur, adif not to eat a kezayit, but you can. What you can do is you can drink or eat in very small amounts and space them out. Okay, generally. The halachic opinion, okay, I'll tell you. We space them out in the time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, which there's different opinions whether it's 3 minutes, I think 4 minutes, 9 minutes. 9 minutes is the generally accepted psak. So what you would do is you drink a little bit every 9 minutes, basically. Okay? And then, because the assumption is, okay, like there's a halachic question if you drink coffee in the morning and you drink it very slowly. So you drink a whole cup, do you say a borei nefashot? Because you've drunk it over a period of much, right? You've drank a kezayit or a ravid, let's say, where it would be for that. You would drink that shir over a period of more than 9 minutes, basically. And probably in every 9 minutes, you won't necessarily have drunk a shir. So therefore, you don't, like, if you ate a piece of bread and you took one bite, and then 9 minutes later you took another bite, 9 minutes later you took another bite, you wouldn't have to bench on that because in order to be chayv, it all has to be within an amount of time. So how does that relate to here? So what are they saying? They're saying in this mixture of this mikpeh, if you were to eat the amount of mikpeh that's a half a loaf of bread, there was a kezayit of the shemen and the shum. Okay? The garlic and the oil made up a shear as compared to this mixture of a kezayit within the amount of a loaf of a half a loaf of bread. By the way, there's a machloket about how much this half a loaf of bread is. Is it 3 beitzim or 4 beitzim? Okay? So basically, that's the issue here. So what are they saying? The reason why you're chayev is if you were to eat a kezayit of this, because you're lo kalab b'kezayit, meaning there's a kezayit b'chdechi lapras of the mixture within this bigger mixture. Okay? Just 1 second.
If it was less than kezayit of the shemen and the shum,
right, if there was less than a kezayit of the shemen and the shum and in the amount of 3 to 4 beitzim of this mikpeh, then it wouldn't be relevant.
Okay.
Right. Okay, then you wouldn't be loka on this. Okay, so now, right, and then the assumption is when you eat, right, so the assumption is that when you eat this mixture, in the time it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread, you're basically eating a kezayit, within the time frame also that you would eat a half a loaf of bread. It's two things I'm saying, because you'd also, in other words, we say you have to eat a kezayit. Let's say you're nibbling on a piece of bread. So as long as you don't have to eat half a loaf of bread within the 9 minutes, but you have to eat a kezayit of bread within those 9 minutes, here you'd have to say two things. Number one, there's the amount of shum and shemen in this mixture that if you were to eat it, you would actually eat a kezayit, and you actually ate that amount in that time that you would generally eat a half a loaf of bread. Otherwise, you wouldn't have eaten a kezayit of iser, so you wouldn't be chayav, because heter is not necessarily lisur. Okay, that's how he answers it. So now, remember, this was all to explain, how does he say that you're loke midoraita? So the Gemara immediately, the rabbi asks him, but wait, achila pras doraita hi? But this shir, you're giving like a shir of achila pras that's a derabanan creation, to explain how someone's chayav midoraita, like how could this halacha of kedei achila pras isn't midoraita? So Amar Le in, he says it is, it is doraita. Okay, so now he says, wait, but ihachi amai plige rabbanan alei de Rabbi Elazar bekuta chabavli, my favorite food. Okay, so he says if that's the case, why do Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Elazar about this Kuta Chababli? What's this Kuta Chababli? Kuta Chababli was this yucky mixture of sour bread, sour milk, bread crumbs, and I think it has salt in it. It's got a bunch of halachic things that are relevant. It's got the chalavi, it's got the chametz on Pesach. So now, it had breadcrumbs. Breadcrumbs, obviously, it doesn't have a full kezayit, really. So there was a machloka between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim about whether you're chayav for eating this kuta chababli on Pesach. Because maybe it doesn't have a kezayit b'chdei achila pras. And if it it doesn't have a full kezayit in it. It maybe has a kezayit b'chdei achila pras, right? If you ate the whole thing, then within a certain amount of time, right, then maybe it would have a kezayit. And yet there's a machloket about whether you're even chayav midoraita on this on Pesach or not. So if there's a machloket about it, right, what does that show? That the sheer b'chdei achila pras can't possibly be doraita. Otherwise, they would all agree that you'd be chayav. Okay? So what do they say? So Amarle Hanach Lekuta. So why did Rabbi Elazar thought you're chayav for kuta chababli on Pesach? But Rabbanan, who's Rabbanan, right? The general opinion thinks you're not. So how could it possibly be that you think achila pras is midoraita and chachamim aren't b'chayev in a case of the kuta chababli, which right now the working assumption is that a kuta chababli within a shear of kedei achila pras would have a kezayit of bread in it. So the answer he gives is Amar lehanach lekuta chababli deleka kezayit b'chdei achila pras. You never end up eating a kezayit b'chdei achila pras. Why? They didn't eat it as a food in and of itself. By the way, I never remember coming across this. I never understood this food exactly, what they were doing with it. They would dip their bread in it. It was like a dip, like a yogurt dip kind of thing, right? Because it seems the most similar to yogurt with the rotten, you know, the spoiled sour milk or something. That maybe it's like a yogurt. They would dip it. So, hanach kut chabav dilek kazayit chila pras. And then what do they tell you? Eat a kasharif le mishraf, if you really would drink the whole thing, okay? Like, eat it all at once. In which case, there would be a kezayit b'chdei achila pras, and in theory, you should be chayav. What do we say? B'teila da'ato etzel kol adam. In other words, you're doing something that no normal human being does, basically, and we're not going to be able to be chayav you because you're just doing something so radically different from anybody else. And imishter kashatar, if you're going to dip it, then lo mishkacha kezayit b'chdei achila pras. You won't possibly eat a kezayit of bread within b'chdei achila pras, and that's why Chachamim said you're not chayav, not because kezayit b'chdei achila pras isn't midoraita. It is midoraita. Just you'll never get to that in eating a kuta chababli. That was question number one. Question number two, etive. Remember, etive, as always, we're going to bring a braita to contradict something an emora said. Shte medochot, or a makorta, some sort of tanaitic source. Shte medochot. Medochot are the things where they crush spices.
Mortar and pestle.
Right, mortar and pestle. So you have two of them. Echad shel truma v'echad shel chulin. One is filled with truma stuff, spices, and one is filled with non-truma spices, chulin. Ulefanav shtei kderot. Chad shel truma v'chad shel chulin. Okay, so he's, you know, crushes up his stuff. He's got one truma pile, one chulin pile. He's got two pots, one truma, one chulin. Okay, you can imagine this happening, right? And what happened? Naflu elu l'toch elu. Okay, and then, you know, one went in there, one went in there. We don't know which is which. Okay, which went where? Shtehem mutarot. Everything is mutar. Shani omer, chulin l'toch chulin naflu, u'truma l'toch truma nafla. What does it mean, shani omer? I can assume, I can say, it must be the truma fell in the truma, the chulin fell in the chulin. How does this possibly work? I mean, don't you possibly have spices in there, right? So what's the assumption? Again, you have a much smaller shear of the spices, right? And therefore, v'isal kadata kizayit b'chdei achila pras de'oraita. If we're going to assume that there's probably a kizayit of these spices within a kedei achila pras of this mixture. So if you would have a kizayit b'chdei achila pras, and that's midoraita, like Rav Dini says, amayam rinan shani omer. How can you then assume? What do we always say? Safek d'oraita l'chumra, safek d'rabanan l'kula. So clearly, if you're going to say shani omer, meaning, right, that's the way the Gemara puts it. How could you say shani omer? What is shani omer? That we can assume. How can we assume in Kol Lahakel? It must be, because it's d'rabanan and not d'oraita. So they're saying it must be the whole din of Kitziachila Pras must be d'rabanan. So what do they answer? Elamai,
Elamai
Right. Elamai. So what must it be? You must say, right, if it's not, you must say, heter mistarif liisur. Right? And therefore, amai amrinan shani omer. Right? If you're going to say, right, how could you possibly say, if we must assume that also, heter mistarif liisur here, and therefore, how could you sway? Why would we assume that? 1 second. No, that's his answer. He says, what's the answer? That heter mistarif liisur. And therefore, wait 1 second. Rav Dim is answering him back, and he's saying, what do you think? You think you're trying to say the opposite of me? You disagree with me? In which case, you want to say that heter is mistarif liisur. If that's the case, then also, you shouldn't say shani omer. In other words, Abai, you're bringing this against me. What did I... He said two things, right? He said, he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, the heter mistarif liisur only by Nazir. And in answering up the question, right, he had to explain that kedachi lapras is midoraita. So then they say, he says to him, here, well, what do you want to say, Abai? You want to say that you disagree with me and then heter mistarif liisur? If that's the case, then it should be usur also. You should have this mixture and the heter should be mistarif liisur. You eat a kasai, you're chayav midoraita. So therefore, he says that can't be the reason. Because otherwise you'd also agree with me that you'd be chayef. So the answer is, Ela hanach l'truma tavlin derabanan hi. We learned this in the past. Truma in the Pasuk says, Dagan tirosh v'yitzar. So that some people say that it's only midoraita by those three things. When it comes to the wheat, right? The tirosh, the anavim, right? The wine. And the yitzar is the shemen. And only by those three things did Oraita, but when it comes to spices, it's only midrabanan. And once we get, right, once we say the whole truma is midrabanan, well, then obviously everything else relating to it is going to be midrabanan, and then it can support Rav Dimi. He wants to say, oh yeah, it's b'chdei achila pras, but b'chdei achila pras is only midrabanan. Because we have a safek here, safek midrabanan, lakula. That's how he answers it. It's going to be the same type of answer in the next sugya. Third question, final question for today. Etive, shtei kupot. Echad shel truma v'echad shel chulin. V'lifnehem, okay, it's two like boxes, or yeah, I don't know, how would they translate kupot there? What do they call it?
Boxes.
Okay, two boxes, one full of truma, one full of chulin. V'lifnehem shnei se'im, okay, well, se'ah is a measurement, right? Two se'im, echad shel chulin v'echad shel truma. V'naflu elu l'toch elu, right? One fell into one fell into the other. You don't know which fell into which. Shnehem mutarim shani omer chulin l'toch chulin naflu, truma l'toch truma nafla. Same question, right? So now what does he say? It works for me if you say heter mistarif liisur. Why? Because this is something that actually I'm going to explain very simply now, but the mafreshim have a lot of trouble explaining this. Kigon dinefishe chulin. There's certain situations where heter mistarif liisur does not apply. Okay, like if the chulin is so much greater than the truma, then we're not going to say heter is mitzarif liisur. In other words, there have to be certain conditions for us to say that if this heter is mixed up with this isur, then the heter is going to basically combine with the isur. Like we talked about, like if the wine is soaked, right, like the lady fingers, let's say, soaked in coffee. But there's certain cases where it doesn't apply, where the Isser is so much smaller than the heter that it wouldn't apply. So you could say that's the situation here. Okay, it fell into a huge amount of chulin. Right, they don't exactly say about tel b'shishim, but right, the Mefreshim actually have some difficulty understanding this totally. Okay, well, I'll leave it at that. But that's what he says. So he says, I can kind of explain this in my way. But ela lidichada amarta mishum deika gazai b'chtei lechila pras ki nefishe chulin mai have. In other words, if you have a lot of chulin, okay, the assumption is you have a lot of chulin, but you still have kizayi b'chdei achila pras, okay? This is the difficulty exactly. How somehow the percentages work in his favor, but not in his favor, and why he couldn't say that you maybe it's where a case where you don't even have a kizayi b'chdei achila pras. Somehow, there's a little bit of a complication here. Anyway, so what does he say? He answers, Amar le hanach l'truma b'zman hazeh d'rabanan. And then he can eliminate all, right, the other question also. Because now he's put into a corner and he doesn't have any answers. He says, you can just say the truma b'zman hazeh, right? There's no Beit HaMikdash anymore, right? There's all different opinions about the truma, and the truma is only midrabanan. Truma b'zman hazeh is drabanan, and therefore, this whole halacha is all drabanan. even though you might say the shear of Gechte Achila Prasas Deoraita, the particular case in the Braita is a Truma case. The Truma is Midrabanan, and it's all Drabanan, and Safek Drabanan Lakula. Okay, Chag Sameach to everyone.